Midbase in Ableton Live 12. Drive it for smoky warehouse vibes for jungle old school DNB vibes. Advanced session. Let's go. Today we're not doing a clean restutorable. This is about Midbase character. That gritty, driven engine that makes a jungle or old school DNB tune feel like it's rolling through a sweaty warehouse at 3 in the morning. The goal is, the bass line still reads on small speakers, it locks to the break, it leaves the sub stable, and it moves over time instead of feeling like a static loop. We're building a two-layer system. A clean sub track that stays boring and consistent. A mid-bass track that takes the distortion and the movement, and then a bass bus to glue it together without smashing the life out of it. Before we touch any fancy drive, set up the context so the bass can mix itself. Set your tempo around 165 to 170 BPM. Pull in a basic drum foundation. An immense-style break is perfect, plus a kick that's fairly short. You can do a simple two-step pattern or a step jungle groove, anything that gives you a clear kick and snare relationship. Here's the reason. Mid-bass tone decisions mean nothing in solo. Jungle bass is a relationship. If you're not making decisions against the break and the snare crack, you're basically sound designing in a vacuum. Now, step 1. Build the clean sub foundation. Don't skip this. This is the part people rush, and then they wonder why the drop doesn't feel solid. Make a track called SUB. Put operator on it. Oscillator A is a sign. Keep it simple. Set the amp envelope so it fits your pattern. Usually a release in the 80 to 150 millisecond range works, depending on how busy your bass line is. If you want a bit of knock at the front, you can add a tiny pitch envelope, super fast decay, like 2 to 5 milliseconds, and a very small amount, just a touch. Then put EQ 8 after operator. Low pass the sub around 90 to 110 Hz with a steep slope, like 24 dB per octave. The goal is purity. No upper harmonics accidentally poking out and confusing the mid layer. Then put utility. Set width to 0%, full mono, and trim the gain so your peaks are controlled. I want you thinking like an engineer here. The sub should be stable, predictable, almost boring. That's what makes the mid layer feel huge. Alright, step 2. Create a mid-bass source that's designed to distort well. Make another track called MID Bass. You can start from a resampled Reese if you already have one, but let's do it with stock synths for full control. Load Waveeatable, Oscillator 1. A saw from Basic Shapes, or a harsher Waveeatable if you want more bite. Oscillator 2. Also a saw. Detune it slightly, maybe 10 to 25 cents. Keep unison controlled, like 2 to 4 voices. Don't go massive yet. We're aiming for density and chew, not wide supersaw trance. Pick a filter like MS2 or OSR. Add a little drive inside the filter, maybe 10 to 20% to start. Set the cutoff somewhere in the 250 to 600 Hz area for now. Don't obsess. We'll automate this later. Amp envelope, fast attack. Basically 0 to 5 milliseconds, decay around 200 to 400 milliseconds, sustain to taste, release around 80 to 180 milliseconds. Now the most important alignment detail, copy the same MIDI pattern from your sub to your mid, so the groove and note timing match. That way, the sub is the weight, and the mid is the character riding perfectly on top. Step 3. Split the mid-bass range with EQ before drive. On the MID bass track, first device is EQ8. High pass it at around 110 to 140 Hz with a 24 dB slope. This is non-negotiable in this style, because distorting low end makes it unstable and it fights your sub. You want the sub to do sub things, and the mid to do mid things. If it's boxy, do a gentle dip around 250 to 350 Hz, like 2 to 4 dB. If you need readability, you can add a tiny bump around 800 Hz to 1.5 kHz, but keep it subtle right now, because distortion will change the whole balance. Now we're ready for the main vibe. Step 4. The Smoky Warehouse Drive Chain. A practical chain using Live 12 stock devices goes like this. Saturator, then roar, then auto filter, then glue compressor, then EQ8 for cleanup, then utility for stereo sanity. Let's do those one by one. First, saturator. Think of this as pre-thickening. Set the mode to analog clip. Drive it somewhere around 3 to 8 dB. Turn soft clip on. And here's the rule that separates pros from chaos. Level match. Use the output knob so that when you bypass saturator, it's basically the same loudness. Because if it gets louder, you'll think it's better even when it's worse. And we're trying to build tone, not just volume. Next, roar. This is your main smoke generator. Roar can feel like overdriven hardware if you treat it right. Start with a style like warm if you want thickness, or erode if you want more aggressive texture. Set drive around 10 to 25% to start. Don't jump to extreme values, because you'll lose punch and end up with that flattened waveform soup. Aim roars tone and filtering so the energy lives in roughly the 200 Hz to 2K Hz zone. That's the warehouse bark. If roar has internal dynamics controls in your setup, use just a touch of compression inside it to keep it from jumping all over the place. And here's a key teacher note. Drive into roar, but don't slam the output. You want the feeling of hot circuits, not a destroyed transient. Next, auto filter for movement. Old school isn't just distortion, it's motion. Set auto filter to LP24 if you want that classic sweep, or band pass if you want it more nasal and focused. Put the cutoff somewhere like 400 Hz to 1.2 kHz as a starting point. Add a little envelope amount so different notes speak slightly differently. Then add an LFO, synced. Try 1/8 note or 1/4 note rate with a small amount, like 5 to 15%. That subtle breathing, especially under breaks, is the difference between a bass sound and a rolling bass line. Next, glue compressor. This is to control the snarl and the spikes the distortion creates. Attack around 3 milliseconds, release on auto or around 0.1 to 0.3 seconds, ratio 4 to 1, and only aim for 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction on peaks. We are not flattening, we're stabilizing. Now, post-drive cleanup EQ. Add another EQ8 after glue. If you need it, high pass again around 120 Hz just to be safe. Then hunt for harshness. A lot of the annoying rasp lives around 2.5 to 5 kHz. Dip 2 to 6 dB with a medium Q if it starts turning into that mosquito fizz. If the bass disappears on small speakers, do a small wide boost around 700 Hz to 1.2 kHz. That range is where the brain hears the notes when the sub isn't audible. Then utility. This is your stereo sanity check. If you're using bass mono, set it around 120 to 150 Hz so anything below that is centered. For width, you might end up somewhere around 70 to 110% depending on your source. And a reminder, old school jungle bass usually isn't super wide. Width can beat an aura on the harmonics, not a whole bass that's spread out. Now step 5. Parallel grit send. This is where the mix-friendly magic happens. Instead of stacking endless distortion on the MID channel, make a return track called Grit. On that return, start with a Q8 and band limit it. High pass around 200 to 300 Hz, low pass around 4 to 7 kHz, so you're distorting mid harmonics, not low end and not a bunch of fizzy air. Then add roar or overdrive. If you use overdrive, set the frequency around 800 Hz and drive maybe 30 to 60%. If you use roar, you'll get more textured smoke and less fizzy edge. Optionally add redux. Keep it light. Downsample maybe 10 to 18 kHz, and bit reduction at 0 to 2 unless you want hardcore crunch. Then glue compressor to stabilize. Then utility to mono it or at least narrow it, because a wide distortion return can smear the break. Now send your MID bass to that grit return at something like minus 18 to minus 10 dB and blend it in. This is smoke on a fader. It's the difference between committing to a distorted tone you can't undo, and having controllable dirt that you can ride in the arrangement. Step 6. Sidechain the mid to the kick and snare without killing the roll. On the MID bass track, add a compressor or glue with sidechain input from the kick. Ratio 2 to 1 up to 4 to 1. Attack 5 to 15 milliseconds so the bass doesn't completely vanish. It keeps some bite. Release around 60 to 140 milliseconds, tempo dependent. Aim for about 2 to 5 dB of gain reduction when the kick hits. But here's the advanced move. Sidechain the grit return harder than the main mid. That way, the cleanish mid-body keeps the bass line continuous, while the dirt ducks out of the way of the transient. Your drums get clarity, and the bass still feels like it's rolling. Also, if the snare is getting masked, don't only reach for EQ. Try shortening the MID note release by 10 to 30 milliseconds. In jungle, it's often the tail of the bass note stepping on the snare, not the frequency content. Step 7. Arrangement. This is where it stops sounding like an 8-bar loop and starts feeling like jungle. Try a simple 32-bar pressure curve. Bars 1 to 8. Keep it darker. Lower auto filter cutoff. Less grit send. Bars 9 to 16. Open the cutoff slightly. Add a tiny drive automation, maybe 1 or 2 dB on saturator or a couple percent on roar. Bars 17 to 24. Switch the LFO rate, like from 1/8 to 1/16, for urgency. Bars 25 to 32. Pull top end back again to make room for break edits and transitions. Automate small moves. Roar drive plus or minus 2 to 5%. Filter cutoff is your main vibe control. Grit send is density control. And even utility width can be an arrangement tool. slightly narrower often feels heavier, especially on a second drop. If you want it to feel even more old school, try controlled randomness. Put an LFO device with a random waveform on the filter cutoff, or map to Roar Drive if you can. Slow rate, like 1 to 4 bars, tiny amount. The bass starts to feel alive, like gear in a room, without losing the groove. Step 8. Bus the bass layers for glue, and keep the sub safe. Group sub and mid into a bass bus. On the bus, put EQ 8 first. If it's muddy, do a tiny dip around 200 to 300 HC. Then glue compressor. Very gentle. Attack 10 milliseconds. Release auto, ratio 2 to 1, and only 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction. Then a limiter as safety, not loudness. It should only catch stray peaks, like 1 to 2 dB maximum. If you're hitting it harder, you're probably overdriving earlier stages or not level matching. Now, coach notes that will save you hours. Gain staging. Aim for a consistent input level into your MID distortion chain. A practical target is around minus 18 to minus 12 dBFS RMS before distortion. And every time you add drive, trim the output so bypass is the same loudness. This is how you actually hear tone changes instead of being fooled by volume. Also, distortion creates peak spikes. Before you crush it with compression, try gentle clipping earlier, like saturate or soft clip. That prevents the compressor from grabbing and smearing the groove.